The idea is that God is always growing. He's growing us, he's expanding us, he's wanting new things for us in our spiritual walk because he is so great. Today we continue our vision series. And last week we shared a five-year vision for the church. And that is that we want to be more than a church. We don't want to be a church, we want to be God's church. We want to be the church that we read about in Scripture. And with that, we've got some bold goals that we want to achieve. But also, this year, we've got a key verse. And if you've got your Bibles, open to Matthew chapter 9. And in this verse, there's a talk of wine, new wine, and wineskins. And so we're going to be pulling that apart this year as God stretches us and expands us to move into the next season. As you look that up in your Bibles, I want to share, sort of get you to cast your minds to maybe a time in your life where you've got a tradition that has changed over time. For me, probably the big tradition for me that's changed over time is this idea of Christmas and what Christmas looks like. When I was young, Christmas was my parents told, picked me up and took me where we needed to go. And that was usually my grandparents' place where my dad's brother and sister and their extended family were, and it was this massive family event, and that was all good. My grandparents have passed on, and so then the tradition changed. Then all of a sudden I got a bit older, then I got a girlfriend. And you go, oh, that changes Christmas. That girlfriend became my wife, and now I've got to go and see another family at Christmas time. And it's like, oh, and that's still pretty okay, it's just the two of us. And then you have kids, and you go, oh. It's harder now to get to the different families and there's different family dynamics and, oh, this is different. And now I'm at the point where my eldest son has a girlfriend and he's now going to a different place at Christmas. Like, oh, wow. Now, underneath it all, the tradition is we get together at Christmas, but the way that it looks changes. And so when we look at it, what's the value? What's the core value in it all? Well, the core value is God loves us enough at Christmas that he sent his son. That's what we remember. His son came to earth. And so because God loved us, we want to love others. And if you've got a healthy family, that love is expressed in the most healthiest way with your family. And so we want to spend time with family. That's the value. The art form, the tradition, the culture changes a bit as life changes, but the value remains the same. In-laws and all. I love my in-laws, they're all good. But yeah, you get the point, right? Today we're going to talk about this idea of new wine and new wineskins. We're going to talk about this passage a couple of times this year. We're going to talk about it this week and next week. And then after Easter, we're going to revisit it and talk about the idea of the covenant of God. And so while the analogies today fit the scripture, we're really going to talk about covenants and new covenants after Easter, in light of what Easter represents in that topic, right? So we're going to hit this a couple of times this year. But if you've got your Bibles, open them to Matthew chapter 9. We're reading from chapters 14 to 17. And Jesus has been asked about fasting. Verse 14. Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? And the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunken cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment and make the tear worse. Worse, neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skin will burst and the wine will run out and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." This passage is really important. Why do we know it's important? Well, it's in all of the three synoptic gospels. What does that mean? Well, go back and listen to the Bible at 30,000 feet that we did last year. It'll unpack that a bit more. And so the first three Gospels say it's so important that they repeat it. The only difference is in Luke's Gospel where it adds, "And once you've tried the old, you love it. You don't want to try the new." And it talks actually about how people love what is familiar. and you don't want to try new things. It actually speaks to the inflexibility of it all. Back in that time, when they talk about this idea of wineskins, what they would use is before the modern day plastics and all the things that we would use, or barrels or all that sort of stuff that we use today, they would use animal skin. And so usually it was a goat, sometimes a sheep, and they would use the skin because it had elasticity. Now, I'm very limited in my knowledge of wine, right? I got no clue. I go out once a year with a bunch of pastors, and there's this one guy who's just a wine connoisseur. Every time we go out, he orders the same thing. I'm kind of envious of him. He goes out and he orders like a steak and whatever side it is, and he doesn't eat the side. He just eats the steak, and he drinks the wine. And every time he's just like got this wine, he's like, and he'd be talking about it, and if it's fruity or whatever else, and I'm sort of sitting there going, 94 was a great year for Diet Coke. Yeah, I don't know. 94? Anyway, I don't know. It's like, I got no clue. But I can appreciate that he's got this knowledge of wine. Anyway, my understanding is that the fermenting of wine means that there is an expansion and a movement of gas that takes place in that process. And so when they make it in this wine skin, the wine skin needs to be able to grow and contract as this fermenting process takes place. Now, after an amount of time and the wine's gone through that process, the wine skin, because of the conditions that were in that area at the time, would harden because of the air and the lack of moisture and become solid. And it wouldn't be flexible anymore. But once you had the wine out of it, you could get the wine. But you wouldn't put new wine in that wineskin because as it tried to expand, it would crack and break. And so this idea of wineskin. I'm going to talk about the wedding banquet because there's more in the theology. I'm actually excited about the wedding stuff. It's Carlene and I have been getting our heads around it. I'm so excited. I shouldn't have mentioned it, but I can't wait for the next series. But I want you to hear that this is talking about part of the attitude of our heart. The attitude of our hearts when it comes to God, the new for the next. The idea is that God is always growing. He's growing us, he's expanding us, he's wanting new things for us in our spiritual walk because he is so great. If you think, oh, well, I'm there, I've already made it, there's nothing more to learn, pretty much you're saying, well, I'm God. And if you're not God, which I don't think any of us are, that means there's always more to learn. There's always more to grow. There's always something in our journey that can be expanding. The question's not whether God is pouring in new wine into our life. It's whether we're willing to become the new wineskins. With this, we've got some key points for this message. The first one is that a growing kingdom needs a new capacity. Last week, we talked about how we want to shift this thinking from when you say, how is church going, we think of here. When God talks about the kingdom of God, not just the church, he talks about the kingdom. And we want to stop thinking about this being all of God and limiting God to what does the kingdom of God look like. A growing kingdom needs a new capacity. Pretty much saying if we try and do it ourselves, we become the ceiling. We become the limiter. Where a growing kingdom needs a new capacity to do so much more. This week we had there's been so many stories that have been coming in over the past couple of weeks. One of the stories that came in just this week, well, last Sunday, was that there's a couple of ladies from another church in Ballarat. And they felt God led them to be praying for the prostitutes in Ballarat. Something I've never even thought of, right? And they felt so led. So they've been seeking God's heart for that. And in that, God led them to York Street. And in that, they're praying and they ended up coming to the car park here because there was something safe about the church. And they came to pray to seek guidance from where God wanted them to go. Now, it came at no surprise to us who know that during the gold mining era, this was the red light district. And so they were led through the Spirit to come here to pray. As they were praying, God said, I want you to go up the street up there. And they go, okay. So they walked up the roundabout here, they turned right, they went up the street. Up the street is sort of a used space for housing supplies, sort of old housing doors and mirrors and windows and all sorts of stuff. And they felt God said, I want you to go in there. They said, okay. So they walked in there. And they're like, God, what do you want us to do here? And there was a guy who had a microphone. No, there was a guy that had a, sorry, techies, a guy that had a patch on his face. And they felt like God said, you pray for this guy. And I said, hey, can we pray for you? He goes, sure. They start the story. Long story short, they lead him to Jesus. We should be clapping. Come on. How good is that? Like, come on. These are two people not from our church, but have been obedient to God's Spirit. Now, can you picture yourself in that scenario? Yeah. Go there. You're like, do I have to? That's weird. Maybe I'll pray about it a bit more. You know, like you'd find excuses not to. Or if you got there and God said, pray for this person, you go, sure. You know, these ladies were bold. And they prayed for this person. Because of that, they had an opportunity to lead him to Jesus. One of our neighbors knows Jesus because of their obedience. This is kingdom. They're not part of this church, but they're part of the kingdom of God. We've since connected with them, and they're going to be meeting here on Mondays and doing some prayer for those in the Ballarat region that need help in a certain area. It's incredible. This is kingdom growth. It's not something that we felt God laid on our hearts, but something that we're absolutely behind because it's for God's kingdom. This is what growth looks like. This idea that there is growth, and we need new capacity. New wine assumes movement, growth and expansion. God's mission will always stretch his people. That uncomfortable piece in us isn't a bad thing. It means we've got to be praying more, discerning God, but being obedient to him. Why do our young missionaries and all those that go to a DTS overseas experience God so much, right? It's because they're obedient and they're stretched. They're placed in awkward spots. Missionaries everywhere. You know, you guys have lived this, right? And they're stretched to the point where they go, man, I can't do this on my own. I need God. And God shows up because he's faithful. They have incredible stories because they've been stretched, because they've been obedient. God's mission will always stretch his people. Otherwise, we could do it ourselves. And it's not about our works, it's about his. A faith that is passed on must stay alive. If we're going to pass something to somebody that we value, we want it to be passed healthily and we want it to continue to be healthy. We're animal lovers in our home. We love animals. We've got a dog, we've got two cats, and up until recently I had three teenagers. We love animals. One of them turned 20, so. But our last cat that we got is a rescue cat from the pound. And when we got this cat, they didn't tell us the whole history of the cat because they can't tell its upbringing, which is, there's probably a reason for that too, because this cat's nuts, right? We love it. We love it to bits, but it knows everybody. If it's not our place, it's probably your place. Right? Everywhere, we just found another neighbor that it goes and plays with their dog, and it's like, man, it's really well known. It's a beautiful cat. But when we received that cat, they also gave us some instructions about the background of this cat. Because they wanted, I just want to say, here it is, see you later. Maybe they did, because the cat's pretty psycho. But I think that the heart that they had at the pound was, here's a cat and we want you to look after it. So we want to empower you with some information, here's some food, here's some stuff to ensure that this cat would continue. And it has, it's great. But it's the same with our mission. We want to be able to pass on to the next generation something that's healthy, that will continue to keep going. Now, in leadership or in business, there's a model of example or a model of operating called the bell curve. You may have seen this if you've been in business or leadership for a while. This idea of the bell curve says that if you keep doing what you're doing and things start going really well, there will get a point where things start to plateau if you don't change. And if you continue to not change, things will start to decrease. And sometimes it happens in churches. We've got a certain art form and a style, and we keep going with that, and then all of a sudden that art form doesn't reach the community around us, and our numbers may decrease, and then we go down. Now, it's not a criticism, it's just an observation. And sometimes there's other reasons for it, ups and downs, but, you know, the bell curve. Now, in good leadership, or in the principles of leadership or growth, or business growth, what they say is it's really important, and there's different versions of this, but either halfway in the growth curve, which you don't know when that is, but that's why there's a few differences, or two-thirds or three-quarters of the way up, you start the next expansion or the next shift or the next refocus or the next restructure or revision or repurpose to ensure that you continue the key theme behind it, but with more personnel, different structure, different organisation, different governance, to ensure that it continues to grow. What does this look like? Well, sometimes you see little ripples as there's a bit of change, but for the sake of the kingdom continuing to grow. Now, why are we showing leadership metaphors in church? Why are we showing like business stuff in church? Well, this is what Jesus did. Jesus had a group. And in that group, he had three disciples that he was really close with. And he shared so much with those disciples. He invested into them really carefully. He did life with them. He wept with them. They were really close. But then he also had his 12. And he invested heavily into those 12. But then we see that Jesus' model of investing into others for the mission that didn't change of sharing the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God with others, needed to shift. And so we've got some passages. If we look at Luke chapter 9, we see that Jesus sent out the 12. In the very next chapter, Luke chapter 10, he sends out the 72. There's a shift. There's a growth pattern that takes place. In Matthew chapter 28, he sends all his disciples to go out. So we see there's some shifting. The mission is the same, but the way that it happens is different. We see God also asked Moses in Exodus chapter 18 to change his way of operating. They were heading to the promised land and they got hung up because Moses was just sitting dealing with all of the problems because he felt he was the only person that can deal with all the issues of the world. And so from morning till night, dawn until dusk, he had a line of the Israelites going up and going, you know, what should I wear today, blue or orange? Like what, you know, should I, you know, my finger's cut off. Should I get that checked out? Like all the issues, political stuff, every issue, major and small, they were going to Moses. And of all the people to offer him advice, it was his father-in-law. The in-laws. Once again, I love my in-laws. So, but his in-laws come in and give him advice. And Jethro, his father-in-law, goes, what you are doing is not good. You're going to burn yourself out. You're spending all day answering these questions. You're not doing what you're meant to be doing. And so in that space, Jethro goes, you need to put leaders in charge of tens and hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands. Like, put leaders in there to be able to move. And Moses did what the instruction was. And this beautiful model of leadership of different structures enabled Israel to head towards the promised land. We need to think differently. New wineskins, and it's not about trends. It's about life. And what we hand to the next generation, we want it to be living and not brittle. We want to hand something that's healthy to the next generation. It doesn't mean we hand it and hands off. We want to make sure that they're doing well. We want to check in. We want to care. We want to run alongside the next generation. The next point is this: a church that builds for tomorrow must stay flexible. I've been laying floors all weekend, and I wish I was more flexible. I am very sore, right, from laying floors. But the better story is this. On Wednesday, when I was preparing this message, I've been racking my brain thinking of flexible stories, like how do you, you know, what flexible, what new wine, what expands, all that sort of stuff. And then I lived it the very next day. So Thursday morning, I was getting something out of my ute. And when it comes to my clothes, I'm the kind of person, I shop once every 3 years for clothes. And then I just wear clothes until one day they just no longer exist. I just wear the same thing. Like, I'm not a big clothes shopper. I just buy clothes and wear them forever. I've got the same T-shirt. You know, you look at photos of like, oh, yeah, I was 17. I've still got that top. Yeah, that's the kind of thing. You know, I'm one of those people. Anyway, Thursday, I go to get something a bit heavy out of the back of the ute. I get that. I'm about to go to church, about to come in to do work for the day. And as I grab it, I go to put it down on the ground, and I felt something and heard something let go. And I'm like, oh. And my, no joke, my first thought was, well, I've got meetings all day, so I'll be sitting down. And then I'm like, no, I need to, and I'd split my pants from top to bottom. And then I started giggling because I'm thinking about, you know, what's unflexible and what has grown. I'm like, hang on, what is, that's not the analogy that I was thinking of. But sometimes, you know, no expansion. But a church that builds for tomorrow has to be flexible. Flexibility isn't about control or rigid. It's not a bad thing. It's actually about letting go and letting God. Letting go of the things that we hold so tightly and let God do what he wants to do. Let God mold us, to shape us. It's not weak. Flexibility is actually wisdom. Now, with that, I just want to counter this flexible bit by just saying there's one thing that's not flexible, and that is the foundation that we stand upon. As we heard at communion, for God so loved the world that he sent his Son from heaven to earth, who lived this perfect life so that he could be restored to his heavenly Father. But instead of going straight back to his heavenly Father, he chose our punishment. He took our punishment upon himself when he died on the cross. And then 3 days later, he broke the curse of death, the curse of sin, and he rose again. He showed himself to more than 500 people. Once again, the different model of growth. And then he went to heaven. He sent his Holy Spirit to reside in us, to lead us, to guide us, to build his kingdom here on earth. And so in that, that foundation does not change. It is solid. We stand upon that. But how we stand and how we operate then with the mission of God, we show some flexibility. I think of it, because I like cars, I think of it like a car. The road is solid, it's firm, but it's nice to have rubber tires, right? And it's nice to have suspension. I don't know if you've ever been in a car where the suspension's gone and it's like pretty rough and bottomed out and all that stuff. It's nice to have comfy seats. It's nice to have some flexibility. Solid foundation, but some flexibility as we head where God's calling us to go. With this, we honor the old while embracing the new. We honor the old while embracing the new. Jesus never dismisses the old. He reframes it. We honor the story of the past without having that story limit our future. For example, the Bible talks about Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons. No, I won't. won't do the dance. We see it talks about Moses, it talks about David. Now, all of these characters had some flaws. Abraham, you know, had incredible faith, but there's a point where he slept with another woman because he just wanted to hurry up the process. We see that Moses killed someone, had a horrible temper. David slept with another man's woman, had the man killed, and like had a horrible family way of working, and his family was terrible. Yet they are honored because of how they were faithful to God in their part of God's story. We don't forget it, but we don't let it frame us. It's like there's a part where they're entering into the promised land, and there's this city that was huge, and there's no way that they could take it down. The walls were too big, and so God said, hey, I want you to walk around this building 7 times and blow some horns and the walls will fall down. Now we don't, as a church, 100 years ago when they pulled down the old wooden church, they didn't go, okay, this is the booklet, this is the template. Okay, guys, let's walk around 7 times, blow horns, and that's how we're going to pull down the old church. Like, they didn't do that. They built, but the same heart of obedience was there. God said, hey, walk around this building, blow horns, and it'll fall down in the Old Testament because I want to help you move into the future. I have bigger plans for you. And at York Street 100 years ago, said, hey, I have bigger plans for this church. And its leaders needed to be obedient, so they pulled down a building and built the chapel that we have today. They did it again in the 80s when they built, 80s and 90s, where they built this. Obedient, the same obedience of the old gets reframed for the future. And we can look at history and go, thank you for being obedient. We wish to be obedient as you guide us into the next season. With that, there is a willing people receive a fresh pouring. God pours new wine where hearts are open, humble, and ready to respond. This week as a staff, we opened that Bible passage that I spoke on last Sunday, Psalm 127. And it's the passage that I spoke on with the building project. And the passage says, unless the Lord builds the building, the laborers labor in vain. That whole chapter is five verses. It's not very long. But that whole passage, that whole psalm talks about the building and the city and guarding the city and doing different things. Then it talks about family and the value. There's a value on family in there as well. And we read through the verse and then we talked about it a bit. And then we had a discussion. And in the discussion as a staff, we realized, you know what? At York Street, we have incredible people. People that are incredible at business, incredible at governance, incredible in their workplace, incredible with their care of other people, with their skills, with their hands, with their building, with their assets, with all these amazing skills. And the people that call York Street home could do amazing things. They really could. But if God's not in it, it's pointless. We could look great in what we could do, but if it's not what God is calling us to do, it's pointless. And so in that meeting, rather than talking about the usual stuff, we took prayer points, key events, what's coming up, we said we need to give all that to God and pray. And so we put all our Bibles and journals and everything down and we started praying through the church. We started up on the hill praying for our neighbours. And it was amazing. Some of the prayers were just beautiful that the staff were praying. We prayed in the car park. Then we got to the foyer and then we're out of time. Not we wanted to limit God, but we'd still be praying if we kept going. Like it was just like we ran out of time. It was great, but we ran out of time. We're going to pick it up the next staff meeting and keep praying through the building. But see, if a willing people, we could do things, but we need a fresh pouring from God. We need discernment. We need wisdom to know where God's going to lead us in what happens next. We need to be praying. My hope as we pull apart some of these ideas of new wine is that this vision and the theme for this year will start to shape our hearts. It'll move from words on a page into something that will challenge us to be obedient. I want you to know that change can be faithful, it can be biblical, it can be spirit-led. And that each and every one of us are called to do God's work into the future. I want to remind us that the theme or the vision for the next 5 years is we don't just want to be a church. We want to be God's church. We want to be the church. We want to be more than a church, more than a building, more than a service, more than a program. We want to be God's church on mission. We want to be the church that we read in the Bible. And some of you might go, oh yeah, the church in Acts. Yeah, I want to be that church. You go, which version? We're going to pull this apart, this series too. Because, we've got a series in Acts. So we look at this because you might go, Acts, the early version of the church is, and they're all together and they share everything they had and their numbers grew amazingly. And you go, man, that sounds great. Fast forward a couple of chapters and you go, ooh, that church looks different. Fast forward to chapter 9, where one of their newly appointed leaders is killed for his faith, and the church scatters. And as they go, Matthew 28, as they go, they make disciples. We are here because of the church that we read in Acts chapter 9, that sent, that went, that scattered, that shared the good news of Jesus everywhere it went. Do you want to be the Acts church? We can, but maybe a bit uncomfortable to maybe the early version of the Acts church. We want to be God's church. Whatever that looks like in this season as we move forwards. We want to be more than a church. To remind us of the goals, we want to grow the kingdom, raise the generations and build for tomorrow. We want to plant two churches for the kingdom. We want to raise up the next generation, which for us, some of this is we want to build a church for your kids and your kids' kids. We want to make sure that the church that we are handing to them is healthy. We want to set them up for a win. We want to start passing the baton for future generations, which means for us, we're still running our race. We're still loving and caring them. It's just part of like, let's build them up. Let's make sure they don't make horrendous mistakes. But let's also coach them and teach them the wisdom that only comes from years of living, right? And we want to build for tomorrow with this property. And already some of the things that I'm hearing from God goes, oh, you know, the people in the congregation say, hey, yeah, when you said build for tomorrow, God gave me a vision of this. And already I'm thinking, whoa, that's so much bigger than what I had. Cool. Let's keep praying. It's stretching me, right? New wineskin. I'm like, oh, okay. It's a bit scary. That's probably good because that's not comfortable. That's probably God. Okay. The new for the next. We're all on this journey together. I want to finish the message with this. Will you pray? Will you pray for your church? Will you pray for God's church? Will you pray for the kingdom? Now, usually we'd get to this point of the message and you'd go, yeah, I'll pray. Yeah, that'll be good. Yep. And then you go get your kids and one of your kids is crying and upset because somebody did something and then something else happens. And then the next question is, you know, what's for lunch? And you go, oh, yeah, what is for lunch? Yeah. And then, you know, you get to next Sunday and you go, oh, yeah, I was going to pray about that. Whoops. Right? That's yeah, you don't have to put your hand up. But, like, that's me. That happens all the time, right? You have good intentions. Sometimes I put reminders in my phone and sometimes I try and do those things and it's good. But we want to break the mold. We want to be new wineskins today. And so rather than just talking about it, because remember the word of God is more than talk but of power. Last week we read about that. We want to do it. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to end the service. No song, no little tag, no little chant or anything. I'm going to end the service and we, as God's church, are going to pray. The staff got a couple of rooms done. But imagine what we can do as the body of Christ. And so we're going to do a prayer walk. Now, there was a part of me that's like, okay, we're going to do this, then I'll structure it and I'll have allocations. Like, no, no, no. We're trying to break the mold, right? If the church doesn't know how to pray, maybe we're in trouble. Maybe we need to backpedal a bit and talk a bit more about prayer. We did study it in January, right? Let's go pray. And so what I'm going to do is we'll end the service. I'm going to ask you to go and pray. If you can pray on the hill, that'd be great. If you can pray at the back car park, that'd be great. Front car park, auditorium, foyer, kitchen area, playground, all these different areas. There's one thing I'm going to ask, though, or a couple of things. If you go to a room that has kids in it, can you not enter that room, which is probably half the church at the moment, but just stand outside the room and pray for the kids and pray for the room. Pray for the youth in there. Just want to honour the child-safe stuff and honour the leaders and the lessons that are taking place. So don't go into the room, stand at the door and pray. That'd be great. Also, just one housekeeping bit. Please be careful in the car parks as people are coming and going. Just want to cover ourselves. Just be careful in that space if you are praying because if you've got your eyes closed and it's cars. Yeah, we believe God can move us in the spirit, but... you know, bimp, bimp, what are you saying, God? Beep, beep. Anyway, I won't go there. But, you know, you get the idea. So, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead us in prayer and then we're going to disperse. We're going to go all over the place. We've got some elders and staff that are going to be around as well. But we're just going to pray. The last service, I was with an incredible group that just prayed for the playground. It was just beautiful. What they prayed for God's kingdom, what that playground represents to this space and to our city. It was amazing. Go and pray. See what God does. If you have mobility issues, as much as we talk about flexibility, we want to be flexible too. And we know that some physical limitations do exist, right? And it's hard to get up and move around. If that's you, can I ask that you pray for this place? Could you pray for this auditorium and for the ministry that God does here, what that looks like? If you're a guest with us today, this is all a bit foreign and complicated or a little bit uncomfortable. The First Steps Lounge is straight outside these doors. Can I invite you to go and sit on the couch and someone will be with you really shortly just to connect with you and share a little bit about who we are as a church. All good? Bit different, bit uncomfortable, but hey, prayer can't be wrong. So let's do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for the way that we can honour the past while moving into the future. We thank you for the legacy that we stand upon in this place, and we want to make sure that future generations are handed something that is alive and thriving. Lord, we ask that through your Spirit, you would guide us, you would give us clarity, you would give us purpose, you would help us do what you want us to do, to achieve what you want your church, your kingdom to look like in and through this expression, this portion of the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that through obedience, we would end up with these stories like these two beautiful ladies that were obedient to you, and somebody now has an eternity because of their faithfulness. Lord, may we have those stories as you stretch us, as you guide us. May this space, this location, continue to echo the kingdom of God for future generations. For Jesus' name's sake, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed today's service. And if you are looking for any resources to continue to connect in, you can find them on the links below or on our website. We'd love to see you in the building sometime at one of our future services. And remember, no matter what happens this week, keep coming back.